Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/plainlabel. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, Android, or MP3 player. Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 54.
Might find happiness in the animal kingdom, Ducky?
Like they say, Dal. Love's strange. We could always give it a try.
Now you're gonna tell me where to find the rest of him, Tim's little party house.
The pig, oh, I have the pig. Little T-Birds, Fun Boy, he lives downstairs, all right?
Fun Boy.
A whole jolly club. Jolly Pirate nickname.
Oh, Jesus Christ, attack
you. Hold still.
Each one of these is a life. A life you helped destroy.
Come back.
Don't kill me. I'm not going to kill you. Your job will be to tell the rest of them death is coming for them. Tonight. Tell them Eric Draven sends his regards.
He is in that cell.
What's your name, boy?
Michel.
Oh. You know who I am?
My papa says you are in that cell.
Well, that's not really a nice word to call a person, is it?
A cell?
Yeah. That could make someone very angry. Hurt their feelings.
You behave like an asshole.
You're gonna stop calling me
that. Asshole.
That's not my name.
Asshole.
Call me asshole. One more time.
My son Jeb was brave. Loyal too. Then he was murdered by his best friend in cold blood in that ride.
Well, let him go.
Son, you are not fit to wear this uniform. You're a coward and a traitor.
Fine. I am. You've got nothing to do with them.
Of course it does.
No.
You killed the only family I have.
General, please don't do this.
Betrayed your own men and you murdered my son.
I'm begging you, sir. I'm begging you.
You took everything that I love, Jonah Hex. You know what that feels like?
Don't do this!
It feels like this.
Take it, this is your first time in boxing combat.
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering when you remember you left your helmet behind.
Sir, a helmet can give you a second moment.
Like a bullet might interfere with some more.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Rachel Zelag.
What up, Leo?
And in this episode, we are once again joined by Mr. New Mutant himself, Alan White.
I would bring something, but Miss Rachel keeps stealing my swag.
I am pretty swagtastic.
That's true.
It's a Nebraska thing, for sure.
Man can deny this.
In this episode, we are continuing on with our ultimate superhero warrior theme with the films Howard the Duck, The Crow, Hancock, Jonah Hex, and Dread. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to DeliberateNoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. Mrs. Zelag, let's get into the drink roll call. What do you have?
Yingling.
Traditional?
Yep, in the can.
Nice. Alan?
I went to... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I went to Baltimore and to visit my sister, and I was drinking Yingling Light, and she called me a pussy. So apparently you're not allowed to do that. So.
Oh, she's been listening to the show and me, apparently.
Yes.
Alan, what do you have?
I'm doing my Amaretto Sour again.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. That's right. I like the consistency.
That's good stuff.
The sour part this time is all natural Snapple Lemon Daze.
I am switching up. I am not having an entire bottle of wine this time. I am
going
boring. That was a little unwieldy. I was going to be Eric Chatty Cathy Williams for my intro, but I forgot. But I'm going with Smittix Premium Irish Ale is what I'm having. Or
that's
Smith.
How you know if somebody, if somebody knows how to drink beer or not.
Yeah, if they call it
I'll have a Smithwick.
Yeah, that's not good. It's Smittix.
Smittix!
Yeah, you gotta say it like that.
I certainly would have said Smithwick. If it's spelled Smithwick, I'm saying Smithwick.
It is.
And, okay, with that, let's get into our discussion, and we're going chronologically, which is the thing. We're beginning with 1986's film. The one that, I think should be an interesting discussion. It is 1986's Howard the Duck.
Across the sea of stars lies another world, a world almost exactly like ours. This is where he lives. He's 27 years old, single, but searching. Favorite sports, windsurfing and Aikido. Favorite pastimes, cigars and sex. He has everything, except fulfillment. And then one night, it happens.
Hey, good buddy, are you home?
He has a very sudden midlife crisis. He lands in Cleveland.
You do know why you were sent to me?
Listen to me, small visitor. I can explain how you got here.
Maybe you're here for some greater purpose, some cosmic cause.
Here, he's forced to reassess his career goals.
You went to med school?
To explore new relationships. To redefine his self-image.
I'm sorry, we don't allow pets on the premises.
To adjust to a changing lifestyle.
All right, pull it off!
Until he discovers just who he really is.
Oh, no.
A duck in big trouble.
That's a duck, man!
Howard the Duck, trapped in a world he never made. Coming from George Lucas, a Willard Hike film, a Gloria Katz production.
Howard, a duck the size of a small human man, is accidentally brought to Earth through a laser beam in an experiment being performed by a Cleveland physicist, Dr. Walter Jennings, and his assistant, Phil Blumbert. Howard ends up in Cleveland, where he rescues singer Beverly Schweitzer, I didn't know there was her name, from a group of thugs. Beverly and Phil are friends, and when the government is told about Howard, she helps Phil and Dr. Jennings hide Howard from the authorities until they can get him back home. But then an evil being arrives through the laser beam and takes possession of Dr. Jennings' body, putting Howard, Beverly, and Phil in a fight for their lives.
Okay.
The grammar was good.
Yeah, so this is a terrible, terrible film. This was famously George Lucas produced.
I know!
Yeah.
Infamously.
Infamously, yeah, that's probably more apt. It is a, it's a Howard the Duck, which is in the comic book world, you know, created by Steve Gerber, and it's a satirical book. It's, like a dark comedy kind of a thing, and that's not what this film is.
No, why didn't they try that?
I don't know. You know, this is kind of like a silly, goofy comedy that's very, very 80s.
But I thought it was like a kid's movie, and then all of a sudden I see duck titties, and I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's duck tits in it for sure.
That little kid, and there's like stuff, there's like non-little kids. So like, I'm watching it for the first like however long thinking like, oh, little kids, but like this is, it's just so weird because it doesn't fit anywhere.
Yeah, no, I don't think this is a good film at all. And so what I'm going to try to do is not just rail on it the whole time. Like, I'm going to try to be constructive.
Well, that makes fun of us.
Yeah. I think that I'm exactly with what you were saying, to where I don't understand what exactly they're trying to do.
Right?
It's like, it's sort of a wacky comedy that is unbearably not funny. It has a lot of like duck condom stuff.
Ew.
You know, where she finds the basically like it's just like a dry rolled up duck condom.
Yeah, like where's the wrapper?
There's no wrapper. It's like this little triangle. There's the like almost bestiality stuff with,
yes, with Beverly. Yes, which is so disgusting. Like, wait, it's funny for so, okay, and like I'm just going to make Ted references because that's basically what I'm likening this to.
Okay.
It's funny when Ted is fake banging the lady at the grocery store, but like this is like trying to be romantic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like really creepy to me.
Yes. So I guess part of the problem and part of the problem for me discussing it is I feel like the movie is just too easy to pick on. Like, I just think that it's so bad that it's just so easy to pick on. There's no, like, good performances. There's no...
So my question to you is then...
Sure.
Because I had never seen this movie before, okay, in my life. Uh-huh. But it's like, you know how you watch a shitty movie from the 80s and you watch it when you're a little kid and you think it's the best thing ever?
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch it, like, now and you're like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Sure.
Do you think, like... Because, like, a lot of people on Brad's Facebook were, like, all about it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, little kid guys from the 80s were like, oh, that movie's awesome. I can't really wrap my head around why.
Yeah, and see, that's the problem. This is not a Facebook discussion show, but this is one of the things that I was baffled by. Because I see this, and I see Brad saying, you know, oh, you're in for a treat. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's just being funny. He's just being sarcastic. Then I see people saying like, oh, it's a classic.
Yes!
You know, no house should be without this film. And I'm like, either everyone is clever and they're all being sarcastic, or I don't understand what's happening. And so I put like, there better be sarcasm dripping all over all of these comments, or I, you know, fear for the future.
Is it just like something that's so bad that it's like,
yeah, the old, it's so bad it's good. I don't think that it's bad enough for that though.
Are you sure?
Because I think it's still like a, it's still like major studio release, like, Hollywood sheen to it. Like it still looks like, it's still like technically fairly well made in terms of, you know, there's no like boom mics in the shot and there's no like people flubbing their lines or something. Like it's still, it's not like it's some shitty horror movie to where they have like, just
like Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, it's not like that.
I don't know. Just, I mean, I don't know what to
tell
you.
It's just so terrible. So let me ask you this though. Brad genuinely likes this then?
Here, let me go see.
Cause the thing is like, they were talking about this and on this thread and I just couldn't believe that anyone could defend it, I guess. Cause
Eric wants to know if you legitimately like Howard the Duck. The movie is a classic.
Is he being sarcastic?
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
No.
Oh my God, Brad.
Is it because of the duck boobies? The duck boobies.
When he's getting pulled through the chair. Oh, Jesus Christ.
He said the duck boobies were a pleasant surprise.
Nice. So we do have, one of the things that's kind of interesting is we do have Leah Thompson, who's, you know, Marty McFly's mom.
How come she didn't get up and shred with him on Back to the Future if she knows how to play the guitar?
Yeah, apparently she just can, you know, play it like a motherfucker. And we also have Tim Robbins in the film.
And I put, hold on. I want Tim Robbins to act like this at his house. Like, I hope that he acts like that.
Yeah, I just put, he's just such a terrible, horrible character. You know, as I was watching it, I think when he had said, you're in for a treat, my comment was so pissed. Like, I was so unhappy that this movie was in here because I had seen it before when I was younger and I really didn't like it. And I was aware of it just being around comic books and stuff and, you know, had seen parts of it again, you know, probably in my like late teens and then watched it, you know, the other day and just like it less and less each time. And it's just terrible.
We woke up on Sunday and Brad said he had wanted some breakfast. I said, should we go get some breakfast? And he goes, Howard the Duh.
Oh my God.
Just so you know.
Oh my God. One of the other things that they say is, Here's something that just flat out doesn't make sense in the film. They're sitting there and Tim Robbins and Howard are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, are they after you? And then Howard says, does shoot to kill sound serious? Like, what the, that doesn't answer the fucking question. Like, what are you talking about? He didn't say, is it a serious situation or what?
Oh, was that when they were doing the flying thing?
I don't know. It was some point and I just was like, what? And then we have this dinner sequence where it's got, the principal from Ferris Bueller who's playing Dr. Jennings.
And then he turns into the biggest, grossest creeper of all time.
Yeah, and he's like, they're in this diner and they're just, it's just like 7 minutes of the worst movie I've ever seen.
Well, and whoever like wrote the dialogue. I mean, really, really, it's like all horrible 80s one-liners.
It's bad. It's just so bad.
Yeah.
And then we have the fucking Howard the Duck song at the end.
Actually, I was
kind of. Oh, God.
Howard.
You were kind of into that?
Yeah. I kind of, that was okay. That was probably my favorite part.
Oh, my God. That was.
Duck.
It's just such a shitty film. Like, he just doesn't look like anything other than like a, you know, it doesn't, it's not, like, I guess I shouldn't say it doesn't look believable, but it's not well done. Like, the character design through the, like the prosthetics or whatever you want to call it, like the suit.
Well, he looks like, it looks like a mascot. He looks like the Oregon Ducks, like younger cousin or something.
Yeah, it just looks awful. He's got the soulless eyes.
So my question, and without getting like too much into it, is like in the comic book, he lives in Duckville, Duckburg.
I haven't read a lot of Howard the Duck.
Okay.
To be honest. So I think it's in the regular Marvel universe, but I'm not 100% sure.
But I mean, does he live in a city full of ducks?
No, I don't think so.
He came to this world trapped in a world he never made.
Oh, see.
That's so the tagline.
Yeah.
So he's from another dimension.
So it's the same sort of thing as the beginning, to where it's, you know, he's pulled out of his own world, Cruise.
Oh, and I knew right away at the beginning when all they were doing was like 80s references, only putting ducks in there.
Oh, yes.
I just kept rolling my eyes, like almost out of my head. Like, I don't even know what to say right now.
It's just such a fucking terrible film.
It really is. Like, I thought it would be, cause like you watched it first and you texted me, this duck movie is shit. And I texted you back, good.
No, I put, this duck movie is ass.
Is ass. Sorry. Yeah. And I texted you back, right. Good, because it really makes me happy when you have to sit through shitty movies.
Oh, it's like continual payback from the Old Boy thing.
Right. Every time. Every time. But I thought maybe like you would hate it and I would find some sort of redeeming quality. None. Absolutely not. Everything about it was stupid. I actually fell asleep for about 5 minutes, to be honest with you.
Probably the best 5 minutes of the film. It's just so, you know, and then the thing that, you know, it's known for being a huge flop. Well, it didn't actually do that bad. Like, it only lost like around $1 million or so. Which, you know, compared to our next theme that we have coming up,
which is exciting.
That's not bad at all compared to like 190 million and that sort of thing. it didn't do well, but it wasn't a disaster kind of a situation. I mean, it wasn't a disaster.
Right. It wasn't a monetary financial disaster.
Okay. But I'm ready to be done.
Yeah. Let's be done.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on to our next film. Get Alan in the conversation because he was smart enough not to watch that one.
I was trying to save it for last.
Yeah.
I figured I'll suffer through the last one and then the clock ran out.
That's good.
Well, saving it for never was a really great idea.
That's true. Yeah, so don't watch that movie. All right, our next film is 1994's The Crow.
Fire it up! Fire it up! Fire it up! Fire it up!
Devil's Night is upon us again. Throw a little party, start a bunch of fires, make a little profit.
Oh,
Someone's dead. We can't come back, can we?
That's what I thought. Are you referring to anyone in particular?
Daddy used to say, every man's got a devil. You can't rest till you find him.
Winked at me before he jumped out a fourth-floor window like he had wings.
Crow is his link between the land of the living and the realm of the dead.
So he killed the crow.
Caw! Caw! Bang! I'm dead!
The devil stood and felt how awful goodness is.
Shelley and Eric were very much in love, but no one gets married on Halloween. Not in Detroit. Sorry. Shelley is raped and beaten by city boss top dollar thugs, only to die 30 hours later in a hospital. Eric is shot and pushed out a window. A year later, death is no longer what it was, as Eric Draven, accompanied by a crow and gifted with new powers and a world of grief and pain, is brought back to life to avenge his love's death. After all, love is forever, and some of us believe in angels, with a capital B.
Believe in angels.
Believe!
Gats to.
Same.
So this is The Crow. This is a film that I watched fairly soon after it came out on DVD. It's one that I own. It's one that I hadn't watched in a really long time. And so, for those that didn't know, I didn't choose to have Howard the Duck be on there, by the way.
Howard the Duck.
And so this is one of the ones that I picked for this show.
Thank you for snapping, Alan. That's nice.
So The Crow, Cruz, have you seen this one before?
Oh, yeah.
Alan, what about you?
This is the first time. Because, ooh, okay. I was never attracted to the idea of it, nor the comic. Uh-huh. It seemed like it was that goth rock kind of genre, right, that I was never into.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think? Instincts were correct? Or?
I'm squirming a little bit because I know this thing has got love on top of love, and it was the movie that the dude died in real life.
Sure.
So I wish it was like, you know, such a better epitaph for him. If he had to, give his life to this, I sure wish that it would have been better, that I would have enjoyed it more. But it took a little while, like about 20, 25 minutes, and then I started to get a little bit into it, but talk to me about this movie.
Cruz,
tell
what
me
you
something.
Think?
I remember watching it when I was like in junior high thinking it was way cooler.
Mm-hmm.
It's very 90s, yes. Very, very 90s, but it was made in the 90s, so what do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
I always am such an ass, and because I hate this when people remake movies, but I'm like, if they remade this now, they could make it a lot cooler. And I always do it, thinking, you know, like, if they would, because I feel like some of the movies they make now, they try to take out some of the references. Is where you can be like, I bet that was made in 2012. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Whereas this one is like, let's put some Pearl Jam in there. Let's make sure someone has some fishnet
stockings. Oh, it's got Stone Temple Pilots and a lot of early 90s.
You know, and just grunge everywhere, which is fine. But and the city of Detroit looks to me like a mixture of the model from Beetlejuice and Sin City.
Sure. Yeah, I got a very
Sweeney
like
Todd.
Yeah, Sweeney Todd,
perfect.
That's good because I was thinking Tim Burton's version of Gotham.
Right?
You know,
okay,
so,
yeah,
so the,
yeah.
So the Sweeney Todd thing works well.
So I mean, like, having some childishhood memories of this probably was, you know, I was like, oh yeah, this is the part where this happens, but the villain guy is still like one of the creepiest fuckers I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
So gross.
Top Dollar, played by Michael Wincott. Is that the with the long hair and the.
Yes. Oh, yeah. God.
He, I kept calling him, let's see, not Christopher Lambert. Or Lambert, I guess, from the original Highlander. That's what he always looks like to me, and I always am like, oh, it's not Christopher Lambert, but it's the other guy. It looked the same to me.
I think, like, growing up where I did in a small town, like, long hair is never a thing that I enjoyed, obviously.
Yeah, given your husband.
Right, given my husband. So I was just like, gross.
Okay, well, I liked it quite a bit more than you guys did, obviously.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're not super enthusiastic about it, and that's fine.
Not really, no.
I think that I'm just kind of okay with it as the film starts. Like, I like the fact that they do the origin, and it's kind of in process. Instead of it being like, here's this guy, and here's her complaining, and here's...
But it reminded me of Watchmen.
Yeah, I guess. Where they just kind of skip over the origins?
No, where they just shove him out the window right at the beginning.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I'm now doing a timeline in my head to see which is which. Because if Alan Moore took it from this, I want to holler.
I think that, I don't know when the books were mid-80s, but I don't know how the timeline would have fit. And it could have been completely different.
In the comics?
Yeah, in the comics, I don't have any reference for the books for this one at all.
No.
Yeah, so, but anyway, so I do like that they don't, set everything up and then deliver it. It's just kind of you're in the middle of it as you start. And when it really starts working for me, I guess, is once he's doing the whole costume scene and he's getting like his face put together and the eyeliner and we have the 90s music playing. And...
Oh, so the eyeliner did it for you.
Oh, absolutely. So I really like that still. I like that he is, I mean, it's Bruce Lee's son, but I like that he's kind of sloppy in his fighting. You know, that he's not all of a sudden like some ninja. You know, he catches knives and shit because his reflexes are better, but he's just throwing the guys around and like punching them and stuff.
Yeah, it's not like I know kung fu.
Yeah, it's not like some Neo shit. Yeah. So I kind of like that. I think that he has a lot of quotable lines, which I liked. But
I don't... he quoted the Raven and this is the Crow.
I do like that.
Just saying.
Yeah. I think my favorite
busted.
I think my favorite little fight thing is with the what's the guy's name? Tintin. Lawrence Mason is the actor, but it's the
which
guy.
Which fight was that?
It's the guy with the knives.
The first. Oh man, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the first guy that he fights, because I love that the Tintin character is just, you know, he's selling off stuff with blood stains on it still. To the pawn shop.
The fat guy. The fat guy, that pawn shop owner was my favorite. Talk about quotable lines.
Yeah.
Right?
He had quotable lines. Shit on me! Shit on me!
That's right.
I like that line.
Talk about going from a tough guy to a, like, quivering pile of shit in about 2.5 seconds.
Yeah. Well, he definitely was barking quite a bit, and then once it starts breaking locks without using anything and...
Right.
Gets shot and doesn't seem to be phased, I guess that would turn your disposition around a bit.
Except when he was about to meet his end. Sorry, spoiler, he meets his end.
What?
He was able to still spout off some crap to not Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the other quotable line. You are directly out of your fucking mind.
Directly.
Directly.
Directly,
yeah.
Out of your mind. I'm using that.
That's good. I thought that the what is it, the sister, the Asian woman? I thought that she was sufficiently creepy with the whole eyeball obsession.
What the hell was that?
And the lipstick all up in here.
Yeah, that was
all up in here.
You know, I was that got brought up. It was why is she wearing her lipstick like that? I was like, I don't fucking know. I was like, that's how she wants to wear it. What's wrong with her lips? I think is what the comment was. So that's, I think what the problem is though is Top Dollar, the not Christopher Lambert. I think his, like, not being a particularly strong villain in terms of character or charisma.
Yeah.
It kind of holds the film back from being timeless along with, you know, the the musical
skateboarding.
That's skateboarding, sure. It's kind of that is what holds the film back a little bit for me, because once we start getting into the villains, and I'm just kind of like, I don't give a shit about any of these guys.
No. You know?
Although it does have Tony motherfucking Todd in it, the Candyman.
This is true.
So that's always scary.
Who's that?
He was striking a pose. He was the major domo to Top Dollar, you say his name is?
Top Dollar. Yeah. It's the tall black man with the deep voice.
Oh, yeah. He was scary.
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen Candyman before, Cruz?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
I wrote it here. So, fun idea. I want to do vigilante justice, but not for real bad guys, for like assholes. I want to be like a douchebag vigilante.
Nice.
I must have been drinking. I just want to go around and call people out for being douchebags, apparently, which I think would be a pretty good job.
Just go downtown. Just go to any like frat bar and
just go to Brothers.
Yeah,
exactly. You guys have a downtown?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that though. That's nice.
That's true. We're at a quarter of a million. We're not it's not like 40. That's right.
Don't be offended.
We turned on the TV and we watched The Crow yesterday and it was pretty good.
You know, if we had Southern accents, I wouldn't be able to handle it, I don't think.
America is very jealous of the way you guys speak in the Midwest. You have perfect American enunciation.
That's why we get a lot of broadcasters out of the Midwest that go work in other places.
Hey, you're a boring talker. Get over here.
Yeah, you talk good, stuff like that.
One of the things I didn't understand, and this is just like a pet peeve thing, it doesn't really take away from the movie, was like at the end of a lot of scenes they did like a slow-mo and then kind of like a screenshot and then it would go black. You know what I'm talking about?
No, explain it to me again.
So like at the end of like a lot of scenes, like they would stop talking or something and he'd be like, yeah, and then like instead of just cutting, it would kind of be like not slow-mo, but like I guess slow-mo. And then like, usually one scene just like cuts from one to the other, you know? Maybe I'm the only one that noticed it. And it was just like, And then like, they would like hold there for a second.
So like the scene went on just a beat too long?
Yeah. Something? Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I didn't notice it. It's one where I was kind of having a little bit of problems with, taking notes because I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like, I don't know. Like I was teetering as to, I don't know if I am really enjoying it or if I'm like nostalgia enjoying it.
See, I was having a problem. And I figured out that I was having trouble deciding if I liked him or if he was just some kind of like creepy, weird guy. But then when he got shot and he goes, ah, fuck, and he falls down.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay. I like him.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that he's kind of the morality police all of a sudden too.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like vigilant, like he's like, I'm taking everybody down.
Yeah, it's like, morphine is bad for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly. Perfect. So he does, you know, he's got that and, so I thought that was interesting.
He would be good for like when you're hungover.
Oh yeah.
Can you squeeze this alcohol out of me?
Just out of my arm. Just not. I don't want to throw it up. You know?
I think he only did that just to redeem his little friend's mother.
Yeah, to Sarah's mother, Darla.
Yeah, yeah. And
that was like that. She had that was a sort of kind of.
Yeah,
that was okay for me.
I put also that I think Cruz and I should do a fire it up before every recording.
Oh God, I hated that. Oh my God.
A what?
When they're doing the fire it up. Fire it up. Doing that.
What's wrong with them?
And they shoot guns in the air?
Yeah, and they're drinking the bullet. They're drinking the bullet.
Oh hell no.
I figured we could do all those things.
Drank bullets.
Do you have bullets?
No.
No, neither do I. We live in Lincoln, Nebraska.
That's true.
And even when there were two of them left, they were still firing it up, firing it up.
I know. Yeah. Well, you gotta give him props for still wanting to have a good time, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is true. And those guys collectively were just such goofs.
What was wrong with them? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Especially the one that is one of the last two.
Oh, the one that was like, that got to like watch the car accident.
Yes.
And he's like, oh my God. And he like walks in and he's like screaming all crazy eyes.
Yeah. He was a real goof. I didn't like him at all. But he, I did think that, you know, I don't know. I thought that the end was kind of intriguing in that I'm watching it knowing that Brandon Lee's dies.
Right?
So I'm
in
like,
real life.
Yeah. So I'm watching it trying to find where that would be.
Well, I read.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I think, did you read weren't it? They mostly done?
Yeah, it was mostly done. Yeah.
There was the one scene up in the apartment where they couldn't show his face because it wasn't him.
Right.
And that
that's
was
where
all
he got shot in real life. So that's why I think the beginning of the movie had that pastiche instead of just that straight narrative.
Oh.
I think that's what they shot last, was him walking in on the girlfriend. I read it off of the wiki page.
Oh.
Because I remembered that he was dead and I wanted to know when he died. And then I realized, oh, this movie is the thing that killed him. Right. And they described the scene. So it was a scene where he comes into the room to interrupt what was going on with those guys and his girl. And they shot the squib at him, but it wasn't. I can't even understand the whole description of it. Something about a half of a shell was still in the chamber or something, and mm-hmm. shot the blanks and shot the half the shell out, whatever. But so I think that's why the beginning was kind of chopped up like that, because
yeah, that makes sense.
That's where they lost him.
Hmm.
And they're just kind of they did it that way. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I don't like what happened, but I like the way that they had to sort of go about it.
Huh.
It's interesting. All right, well, do we have anything else about The Crow?
No.
Rest in peace, Brandon Lee.
There we go.
Right?
Let's move on to our first of three fairly current films, and it is 2008's Hancock.
Suspects on northbound 110. Gunfire exchanged. We need backup.
Fellas, listen. Give yourselves up quietly. Okay.
Hancock's latest act of so-called heroics has once again enraged city officials.
I can smell that liquor on your breath.
Because I've been drinking.
Jackass.
Call me a jackass.
One more time.
Jackass.
How about you, thickness? Goggles?
Hancock, son of a gun, I knew you'd come.
Stop crying, punk ass.
Not okay.
I do public relations.
People don't like you, Hancock.
I look like I care what people think.
I think you're wasting your time with this guy.
Pulled some stuff up on YouTube. Everybody remembers Walter, the gray whale. He was stuck on the beach. Along comes Hancock.
Oh, my God.
I don't even remember that.
Greenpeace does.
You're a superhero, for God's sakes. People should love you.
How are we going to do that, Ray?
Right now, there's a DA trying to figure out how to come up here and put you in jail. I say you go.
Hmm?
He's not going to go.
People take you for granted, you know? We got to make people miss you.
If you don't move, your head is going to piss.
Can't watch day five, and crime is still on the rise.
You got a phone call. It's the chief of police. He says he needs your help.
You have a calling. You're a hero, Hancock. You're going to be miserable the rest of your life until you accept that.
Life here can be difficult for me. After all, I'm the only one of my kind. You deserve better from me.
I will be better. I ain't wearing that. What? It's a little tight. What you got?
Hancock! I need you to end this.
Do I have permission to touch your body?
Yes!
It's not sexual. Not that you're not an attractive woman.
Maybe on a different day.
Get me out of here!
Hancock is down. He looks hurt.
That's
it. Make it look hard.
The powerful superhero John Hancock has become a joke because of his alcoholism and clumsiness. Did that say Eric William? Okay.
Oh.
He's also become the most hated man in Los Angeles. Though he has saved many lives, he also destroyed a lot of property, costing the city millions every time he goes into action. When he saves the life of PR expert Ray Embry from an oncoming train, the executive is thankful and believes he can restore Hancock's image as a true superhero. He brings the anti-hero home for dinner and introduces him to his son Aaron, a big fan, and to his wife Mary. But for some mysterious reason, Mary doesn't want Hancock anywhere near her or her family. Bum bum bum.
Well, it's not real mysterious. I mean, read the part that the guy wrote before. He's dangerous. He's clumsy. He's really powerful. Right? Like, yeah, I wouldn't want them around my kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this was a Rachel selection. Alan, have you seen this one before?
I did. In fact, I saw it in the movie theater when it was first released.
Wow.
Nice.
This was the first watch for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So you didn't know anything about it?
I didn't know anything
while you were
about
watching.
It. No.
Nice.
Cruz, what it is?
Nice.
What is it about this one that made you select it?
I just like the idea of, like, the anti-superhero, I guess, where he's like, I have powers, I don't really give too much of a shit about saving the city, blah, 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 I'm gonna drink and sleep on a park bench.
Mm-hmm.
I just like, you know, like, that's something
you can identify with.
The unstereotypical, you know, Superman-ish.
Yeah, it's not a truth, justice in the American way.
Kind of. Right, yeah.
Right. Okay, well, I thought, I don't know, I guess I kind of avoided the film because I expected it to be really stereotypical.
Okay.
I just thought that it was going to be a Will Smith,
A Will Smith joint.
A Will Smith joint, yeah. It looked where
there was no getting jiggy with it even around this.
That would be cool if he came out in that outfit.
Right?
I figured he'd be like down on his luck, things would, you know, brighten up, and then he'd have a big problem, and then it'd be all fine at the end, right? Just like your traditional sort of structure. What do we think about Will Smith as this kind of character? Because this is usually he's, you know, the super nice guy or very self-assured, but also kind of gentle and nice. So what do we think about him as this kind of jerk at the beginning?
Well, him blowing his nose without any tissue disgusted me utterly. I hate when people do that. I don't even understand what they think they're going to accomplish when they do that. It's just going to splatter on their upper lip.
Gross.
It's not going to clear. It never clears.
It never clears.
They are stupid when they do that. They're the same type of people that whistle, I think, just walking down an empty street, just whistling like a moron. Okay, I'm stopping.
That happens quite often.
That was nasty. But I thought that, I thought the movie did a better job at showing his recklessness and menace than he did showing the recklessness and menace. I saw him being grumpy, and so I saw Will Smith being grumpy. But I thought I got more meaning out of all the collateral damage that was going on with him than I did from him.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So I guess the special effects did a better job than the actor did for that part.
Sure. I think the special effects are really solid and are really like generic at the same time. Like, I think that I really like the way that they're used, and that, you know, he's destroying part of the streets, or he's messing up the train.
He's throwing a whale at a sailboat.
Right. He's throwing, you know, that kind of stuff I like. But then every time he's like hitting the ground or like bumping into anything, it's like that same explosion every single time.
Oh yeah.
You know, to where it's like, oh well, I wonder what this is gonna like. Oh, it looks exactly like what everything else has looked like. So I guess
yeah.
I guess I can see, like, consistency wise, it works out. But
and I knew I clearly saw that physics took a backseat here in this movie. Mm-hmm. They just checked out. There were so many times where so much more should have been happening, or so much less should have been happening, and it was just they just went all the way. So like one scene where a truck is being picked up and used to slam, like a big old like a big bat, except it's picked up by the front bumper.
Yeah, and so, it's like completely stiff, essentially.
Yeah, you're not getting the whole truck if you pick it up by the bumper. You're just gonna get the bumper, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
You're just gonna tear the bumper off. And that's stopping the train to save Ray, like as described. So as soon as he stopped the train just stopped. it just crunched around him and stopped. And I was really skeptical and a little angry until the scene continued, and then they showed all the other cars that had all jackknifed and jumped off the tracks and things. And I was like, okay, so physics just took a step to the left. It didn't completely check out of the whole situation. It just got delayed, I guess, in there.
Sure. I think that one of the interesting parts is when he's kind of being chased by the, like the superhero Jersey Chaser kind of a thing. With the woman that's all about him, you know, and, oh, we've been looking at you and this bar and that bar, whatever. And he's talking about, when he's getting on the mountaintop and that whole stuff. And he's like, you gotta watch out now and all that. That looks like it's pretty standard to me. I mean, isn't that what happens all the time with the shots through the top of the roof and all that? Like, isn't that just a standard thing?
Really?
But I saw that and I was like, wow, like this is directly stuff from Mallrats is what it made me think of. Do you remember that?
Mallrats is a class above.
No, it's a terrible film, but
what?
It's not a good movie.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
It's funny, but it's not well done. You know, it's like good. It's good in like the script is funny, I guess. But it looks like garbage.
But I'm missing the parallel though. What did Hancock do that Mallrats did?
Oh, in Mallrats, they're talking about like superhero sex organs and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Brody just like.
And Brody's talking about Superman and Lois.
I guarantee you, blow her load like a shotgun right through her back.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Exactly.
That's what he says on Mallrats.
That's exactly
right. I didn't just make it up.
That's exactly gotcha. Right.
I understand.
So I think that when the film kind of get me, because I was kind of up and down on this one.
Okay.
When the film was working well for me is when the crowd is turning on him for not doing the train section correctly. Mm-hmm. I really liked that. I really liked how it was, you know, oh, you saved us, but you didn't do it right. Because I feel like that's very real. You know, it's like, oh, thanks for saving us, but now my car's ruined and I'm upset at you.
Right.
And so I really liked that. And I did have a question though, like, what do you guys think is more unrealistic, that Hancock has these powers or that Charlize Theron would be married to Jason Bateman? Like, which?
No, see, yes, no.
Uh-oh.
Now that when you bring her part in, that's when I bought in. That is when I bought in. Because, I mean, when I went to go see it in the movie theater, I saw, okay, Charlize Theron is in this thing. Why is she in this thing? And is she just playing, she's playing a wife of this dude? Why is she doing that? So I was also on the fence, but from the moment that she comes out of the house and sees Hancock, she starts to telegraph the reveal.
Yes.
And she does it very well. So my second viewing here, I was now watching her and I just kept noticing how well she was doing that part. Like, not only is there something going on, but it's serious. Some serious shit went down. But they're not hitting you over the head with it. They're just doing it with her face.
Yeah, because like first watch, I was like, God, she hates the shit out of this guy. Like, she does not want her children around him at all. Like, nothing is going well for her. But like, yeah, like second watch, when you watch it, you totally pick up on it.
I did put that I thought I was glad that all the longing looks and, like, you know, I didn't know what it was, so I called them longing looks, but all the buildup actually led to something between the two of them. Like,
yeah.
I was glad that reveal actually happened and made sense for the film. I thought it was fun with the whole public relations aspect to superheroes. I think that's just a fun story. It's just something, again, that's a little bit different than we normally get.
Yeah.
So I liked that. I really enjoyed when he, for the amount, like, I thought it was a perfect amount when he came back and was trying finally. And
yeah,
was doing the good job and all that. Like, I really liked that, and the crowd responding to him. And, you know, that's, I think, again, telegraphed, but as long as it's executed well, I think it works. And I think it works here.
So and that was the Will Smith that I'm used to, that affable, that winning Will Smith. Even though he was acting a little awkward about it, you can see that he had something in there that was likable that the crowd was responding to finally.
Sure. So yeah, I liked that. And I think that, you know, for me, my favorite sequence is the dinner.
There you go. That was a scene where you figure out why she went for him, why Charlize Theron, I kept calling her Charlize because I didn't hear the word Mary until like 3/4 of the film was over. Then yeah, I heard them say Mary.
Some movies I'm like, oh yeah, but most of the time I'm like, yes, so-and-so's character. Like I don't do names very well either. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. So when Ray told his story, I was thinking this is sappy as hell. This is a little on the nose that his wife dies in childbirth. But when, and again, I'm telling you that little Miss Charlize Theron with her face, when the camera goes to her as he's telling his story, you can see that she is trying to will Hancock to understand why she's going to wind up staying with Ray, because she was attracted to this man's pain, and she's the kind of woman that would go with someone in need.
She's a fixer.
And that whole chemistry kind of came across to me in that scene, the scene you just brought up.
Yeah, I like that.
Fair enough. Yeah.
That's good. Cruz, what else did you have to say? I feel like you're not talking about your pick very much.
I mean, I've seen it a lot, so I kind of wanted to know what you thought about it. I just like the funny parts.
I just like the funny stuff.
But those are the ones that stick out, like when he's in jail and they're all like, oh yeah, I'm glad you're in here because we're all going to fuck you up. And he's like, I don't think you are.
Really?
And he puts the little guy. Like, those are the things that really stand out in my mind.
I see.
Okay. Well, let's get in, since we're talking about Charlize Theron and Hancock, like, let's get into that whole spanning of reveal. Centuries. Right. Can I spoil it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I did just now. So, like, how does that work? They've been together and apart for eons or what?
Yeah, essentially. Since she, you know, what's so strange is instead of just saying, you know, for centuries or for thousands of years or hundreds, you know, what, instead of saying that, they have to, like, put, well, in 4 BC or whatever. She, like, says some stupid number. And then she's like, oh, and in 1930 something when he had the tickets. Right.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, well, like, what's the difference? Like, can't you just say a long time ago? Like, why do you have to be specific like that? Like, what does that bring to anything?
Allow me.
Go ahead.
All right.
I have an insight on that one too. All right. So this is my first thought, and I'm so happy that this was not your first thought, and I'll tell you why after I say what my first thought was. My first thought was, oh, so they've been together? A black guy and a white woman with blonde hair.
Oh.
They've been together throughout history? So they were in 1930s Florida? And they were together? How does that work? And then you find out that he got his head bashed in when they were walking down the street holding hands. So I appreciated the fact that they pinpointed that time in history, and they did not hit anybody over the no pun intended head with the fact that they got jumped. And I feel like they got jumped because they were an interracial couple.
Ah, okay. And see, that's what my note was until I got it figured out. I think it was like when she first said that they were together forever. And I was like, well, you know, so apparently it's only an issue in the 30s then? Because I put, you know, later on in my notes, I put, so it never mattered in history that Hancock and Charlize were interracial. So it wasn't the first thing I thought about, but it was something that I had in there later. Like, I understand the more modern aspect of it, but I don't know that that's like a modern invention, that prejudice. And so.
Yeah, that violence against it. Yeah. Like Babylonia, or if it's like, yeah, 3 BC, I'm mm-hmm. thinking the world in other lands was just a little less marginalized. Maybe people looked different in the streets anyway.
Hmm.
Before you started to round up a certain type of person and make them a servant class or make them an overclass or something.
Sure.
I mean, I'm really skeptical when I see historical.
What?
Uh-oh.
Pieces that I see black people die here and there throughout these pieces, and I'm like, how does that work? And then they'll throw something, this guy was a Moor, so that's why he's hanging out with Robin Hood, and guy is an African embassy, and that's why he's hanging out here or there, whatever. But if you're thinking, if you're talking about things, right? But if you're talking about things like North Africa or Sudan, or the Sudan, everybody doesn't look the same in physical characteristics. So I can see, like Egyptians. Egyptians are olive skinned, but you have some very fair-skinned ones, you have some dark-skinned ones, and that in South America is the same. So I'm okay with it.
Hmm. I can see that. That was heavy. Getting what I thought about the second half of the film and what I liked and what I didn't like is I liked the turn. Like, I liked the reveal. I like all of that sort of things. What I didn't care for was as soon as she's kind of revealed, it takes on this lighter, more comedic tone for a little while. And they have like this final act with them battling in the tornadoes, and it was just felt real silly to me. And it went from serious to silly, and then it tried at the end to go back to serious again. And I thought that was a real problem because I didn't know what it was trying to do. Like, it was like this big reveal, but then it was playing it more for laughs than I felt.
Yeah, I'm with you with that, because she put on her dark mascara, so you know shit got real.
Yeah, she was serious then.
And then I was thinking,
is that how that works?
What's that about?
Well, you tell us. Is that not how it works, Cruz?
Yeah,
no, that is how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk about the end, and we have the end and we have the revealed where, you know, if they're close to each other, then it's trouble for them and they start losing their powers. And, you know, that way they can be mortal when they find someone to spend the rest of their life with and that sort of thing. And then we have, you know, they're both hurt and, oh, it looks like they're both going to die and maybe only just one. And I just thought that was such a real safe way to end the film. Like, it was just, oh no, we're not actually going to take a risk and say anything or attempt anything. Everyone's going to be all fine and it's all going to work out and everyone's going to be just happy-go-lucky.
And Eric hated it because nobody died.
Well, it's not necessarily that. I guess I wished there would have been some consequences to the film that we just watched.
Like, yeah.
You watch all this stuff and it's all this, you know, these star-crossed lovers and all this and this unfortunate thing that happened to him, and you know, I can't remember her, and then it's, you know, they're both near death, and then, oh, I'm just kidding, like, everything's fine, but hey, he got his heart on the moon, so yay. And I was like,
right, and we're eating ice cream and there's a dog here.
Yeah, it's like the Jason Bateman thing. Once the reveal came, I was like, oh, I wished he would have been a stronger actor and less of a comedic actor, because I would have liked to have seen how someone deals with, you know, having his wife actually not really be his wife when you're put in that sort of position as like
right,
a regular
like he,
girl.
like, if there was, like, a Ryan Gosling rage attack or something, well, that would have happened.
Yeah, just, like, someone that's just a little tougher.
You're my wife! I don't give a shit about your powers!
Yeah.
Get over here!
Something like that.
So he could break every knuckle in his hand.
Yeah. Right? So he could... He'd try it once. I'd try it. I don't know about you guys.
So I thought that was good. I thought that there was parts that kind of wavered a bit. It's a film that I don't hear anyone talk about ever, which is surprising to me. Because, you know, it's a Will Smith, Charlize Theron, Jason Bateman. I mean, it's got a big cast. It's a Peter Berg film. It's superheroes. You know, it's, I would have thought it would have been a little bigger deal. So I guess I didn't look to see how it did financially, but I can't imagine that it absolutely killed. I'm sure it did fine.
And this was a comic book?
No, this was this is a news story.
Okay.
Yeah.
This, I think all the inconsistencies that you found, Eric, is the reason why it didn't rise above. Mm-hmm. Because I think not enough comic nerds are going to buy that, those physics. That's
sure.
It's just not happening. That's just a little bit too much, fantasy breaking things. And that comedic tone slipping to the serious tone, slipping back to the comedic, and Jason Bateman not being strong enough, I think that probably kept it from getting better at playing.
Yeah, I think so. But I was glad that I saw it. It was it was definitely a little more enjoyable than Mr. Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah. So I'd say you're one for two so far, Mrs. Elig. Yeah. Unless you guys have anything else, we can move on to our fourth film in this marathon of discussions. Are we good?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm good.
All right. Let's move on to our fourth one. And it is the, much revered 2010 film, Jonah Hex.
Don't do this.
Sure, Wolf, please.
Don't do this! No!
This mark will remind you of the man who took everything you had. After that night, some say he was a changed man. That his spirit crossed over, giving him powers that can't be explained.
Jonah Hex.
Five coffins. Thinking you might need eight.
Cut him down!
Jonah Hex.
You don't look so tough.
Hey, Hex! What happened to your face?
Cut myself shaving. What happened to yours?
Always do lock when you finally show up.
Jeez, woman, how many men you see in a day?
Quentin Turnbull is...
Don't you dare say that name to me.
Quentin Turnbull surfaced about a month ago.
We want Turnbull dead. Why don't you just say that to begin with? Anything new, Smith?
Thought you'd never ask. But take it that means you approve.
This is the future.
Future's bright. Can you shoot?
Can you?
This war begins right here! I own you now!
Not you much for being owned.
Turnbull!
We ain't near settled our score.
What's it like to go through life with a face like that?
I show you. Still got that knife in your garter?
They took it.
Still got that derringer in your bustle?
They took it all, Jonah.
Well, searched you for darn good, didn't they?
Wouldn't you?
During Grant's presidency, Jonah Hex is a remorseless bounty hunter. In the Civil War, he was a rebel whose honor put him afoul of a Confederate general, Quentin Turnbull, who murdered Jonah's family while Jonah watched. As a result of the ordeal, Jonah's face is disfigured and he can talk with the dead. After staging his own death, Turnbull, with a group of rebel stalwarts, hatches a plan to bring the Union to its knees. Grant wants Hex to stop it. While the nation readies to celebrate Independence Day, Hex and an unlikely ally have little time to stop Turnbull and his weapon of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm. Now this movie's a damn shame.
This is a shit show.
You know, I heard Jonah Hex, Josh Brolin, post No Country for Old Men in a Western, right? And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be, you know, a modern Western take of a film.
Sure.
You know, and it's based on a comic. The comic is just as Western as Westerns can be. There's no supernatural BS. There's no talking to the dead. There's no crows coming out of your body.
Really?
No, there's none of that. It's just, it's a Western, and he's a jerk. And he kills and he kills a lot of people, and sometimes he punches horses. And, you know,
is the whole backstory the same?
You know what? I've only got a couple of trades, and they didn't have anything to do with Turnbull, so I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
come on, guys. I don't have anybody else to go to with these questions.
X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men. Yeah, that's right. Give me some Marvel questions. I was kind of looking forward to it when I heard about what the film was going to be, and then I saw some trailers and was like, whoa, what is this? It's John Malkovich. Like, what? Why does he look so weird? And then it did have Michael Fassbender, which is surprising now with him being like such a big deal as the little henchman that blows up the train tracks that blows up the caboose or whatever, the passenger train.
The whistling guy.
Yeah, Alan's favorite.
The hell was his problem?
Probably Farmer blows his nose too.
Yeah.
No, that's what that is.
Yeah,
Farmer blowing.
Farmer blow. That's
yeah, Farmer blow.
Yeah.
Does it work then? Maybe you know better than I do. Does it work?
I know. I don't know.
I
know plenty of people that give it a shot.
Right?
Oh, literally.
So gross. Yeah. So
you didn't know watching the trailer that Megan Fox was in it that it was going to be stupid.
You know, I didn't go see it in the theater. That's for sure. I did wait for it to come out on DVD, but what about, Alan, what about you? Did you see this in the movies, or was this a first watch?
I didn't see it in the movie. Well, no, because it was, first of all, it was a Western, and Westerns don't draw me in as tightly and as hard as that. So, I didn't go to the, oh, did I make some double entendres? No,
Rachel is intrigued there. That's all I know.
My. Okay. I might try that again one time or two.
I'll catch it.
See, this wasn't your thing, you didn't think, huh?
No. But, I mean, not the superhero part, the fact that it was a comic book part and the fact that when it was coming out that, how am I forgetting, Jimmy Palmiotti.
Yeah.
Him and Justin Gray were doing the title at the time. So they were excited for it coming out. Then it was enough to intrigue me. Not enough to get me in the theater, but enough to make me want to see it when you put it on the rotation. Like, yeah, let me check that out. Let me see that.
It was enough for me to go to Redbox and pay $1.
Did you find it then?
Oh, this, we watched this a long time ago.
Oh, I thought this was the
first watch. Like in 2010 when it came out.
Okay. Because I remember you telling me you weren't wanting to spend $1 this time around.
No, because I already spent $1 and I watched it and I was like, that's enough.
Yeah, so what did you think of this one, Cruz?
The thing that makes me super angry about movies, oh boy, is that you start with a semi-good premise and either go nowhere or go somewhere really stupid.
Mm. You know what's funny? Wait, before you get going on that, what's funny is Josh Brolin did the remake of Old Boy as well.
I know. What's he doing?
He's doing movies that you don't care for, apparently.
I like Men in Black 3. That was pretty good.
Okay.
I just watched that. That's why I said that.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
I like this idea. Like, he, you know, like, he watches his family burn. I don't like that. But I'm just saying, you know, there's, like, the revenge thing going on. And, he can talk to the dead people, which is, like, somewhere you could take, like, many crazy places, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
Hellboy. Mm-hmm. Did you notice? Mm-hmm.
They did what?
They did that in Hellboy.
They talked to dead people?
Yeah, Hellboy spoke to
a corpse, the grave
and
guy.
Then he tied the corpse to himself to get guidance.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of, did you ever watch that show? It was on like ABC. It was called Pushing Daisies.
Yes.
And I loved that show. And so I was like, oh, this will be, you know, some more of that fun. But I mean, like, I just was like, ooh, premise. And then like, it just went shitty for me. Like the whole thing. And Megan Fox is super hot, but she is a horrible actress. Like, I'm sorry.
We can debate about the first part too.
Okay. She just, like, I understand, like, wanting to put her in a movie, like, me, I guess, wanting to put her in a movie, like, oh, she's, you know, Megan Fox, but, like, like, really bad, and, like, just not good, and, who was the bad guy?
John Malkovich.
John Malkovich is good in being John Malkovich.
Sure.
And in Red.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has to do something where he's, like, smart and calculating, it's just not.
Well, he's good in Rounders.
Yeah.
That was another film we talked about. I mean, he's been in a ton of things. Like, he's a well-regarded actor. Like, he's one of those guys that.
He didn't sell this for me.
Sure.
Basically, is what
that
I was
makes,
getting
yeah,
to.
That makes more sense to me.
Like, he's good in things where he can be a little crazy, like, you know, I don't know. This wasn't his character, his best character. For
yeah,
me.
Like the best role for him.
Yeah, I feel like there was bad casting and just the plot of the whole thing, you know, ooh, weapon of mass destruction. It's called Wild Wild West and everyone saw it, so don't even worry about it.
Yeah, staying on the Will Smith thing.
Yes.
Okay, so here's why this movie's awful. So, right at the very beginning, Malkovich says, oh, you know, you killed my son, you took everything from me, I'm gonna take everything from you. Okay, that's fine. Like, that makes perfect sense.
Sure.
And then he says, you know, I want you to watch, right?
Right.
And he's got them all hung up there, like Beast in the X-Men style on that cover. Alan knows what I'm talking about. And
me too. I totally know.
And so he has them all on the little cross thing. And he says, I want you to watch. And then he closes the door. And that is like the whole, like what the movie is like to me. It's like, that makes no sense. Like, I want you to watch, but not really. You know, it's like they're in there somewhere. You don't see them. He can't see them. And so what's the point of doing that if you're going to not have him see it? Like, yeah, he gets the idea. They're in there. That's fine. But it's just like, you know, he's not seeing them being burned.
It's like the actors and the writers nobody talk to each other.
Yeah,
there's
like
no communication.
I'm not supposed to close that.
Ah, oh, shit.
Running out of daylight.
But I wrote this awesome line, I want you to watch. We thought about it for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And we wrote it down twice.
Exactly. And so then we, you know, it's a little Hellboy-esque to where we get that kind of the animated beginning, and then we have the sort of goofy fat characters. Do you remember the goofy fat guy here where he's in the town and he kills everyone. And then we have this kind of cross-eyed fat man who is then going to be the town sheriff. And he's like, you know, it's super dumpy cross-eyed. And then he drives, you know, he like gallops about 10 steps and then blows the whole town up, it looks like. So it's like, what's the point of making this guy the sheriff when you're basically going to blow him up too? You know, it was mostly that one building, but it was like, God, this town's like 4 buildings. So you're basically blowing the whole place up. And
I always thought that most of those towns were just like 4 buildings.
Well, I saw that set.
They left
like,
the bar.
Yeah, I saw the set and I was like, wow, there's about $20 spent on this. Cause there's, you know, there's just like, it looked like a prop to where there was just no backgrounds at all. It was just like the front facing of everything.
It was like on Blazing Saddles when they make the city in the desert.
That's exactly what it looked like to me. So we have, you know, we had the animated thing that I mentioned and I was like, geez, just animated the whole freaking thing then. This would have made so much more sense to me if it was just animated.
When that part ended, then he goes, this here's my story. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you just told it.
See?
What's the rest of this movie going to be about? You just told the story.
I do like that very first line where he says something to the fact of me and war got along real well, or he says something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe this movie will be good, you know, for the first 2 seconds.
That's cute.
Yeah, and then, you know, very quickly on, we get the horse with the Gatling guns. Yeah. And he's got, like, this 19...
Better, you know, dig 8 graves, or yeah, whatever the fuck he says. Yeah, he's got
1940s technology that he's using in 1800s.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Wow. Steampunk.
Yeah, and so I just put, you know, F you movie. Like, it's...
I thought the shooter in the coffin trick was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. Yeah, that was one little thing where someone's like, hey, right, I got this brilliant idea.
My cousin just called me with this super idea.
Yeah. This is going to put this over the top. But yeah, so I put, why is there always some fat, stupid fuck in these movies? Okay. And
hey,
so
fat people got to eat.
I guess.
A lot.
So we have.
That's fucked up. Why you got to hate on us? Come on.
What?
No, just because Eric runs around a million miles in freaking Nebraska with a 12-pack fucking, doesn't mean that you get a dump on the fat people, dude. That's wrong. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, so there.
That's not right.
So take that.
Sorry.
Okay, so getting to the Megan Fox stuff.
Ugh.
Did you notice that the screen went gauzy?
Oh, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh my god, isn't that so dumb? That's like from the 1930s.
It's like, why the Vaseline on the lens? Like, why?
Let's get that spotlight right in her face and her cleavage.
It's like, why the soft focus on her? Is it because if you focus close, you're like, ooh, she's actually not that cute?
Maybe she has pock face. It's okay.
That could be. Maybe she looks like Josh Brolin.
Maybe they were trying to Vaseline out her southern accent.
Oh my god, how bad.
I'm
not much for being owned, yeah.
Don't hit, I know, show up.
You know,
French fried potatoes.
They talk about a southern accent, right? But if you go to Missouri, you'll get a good southern accent still.
Yes.
You know, it's agreed. Not very far.
South Missouri.
Yeah, I have cousins that live in Missouri, and they have a southern accent, and they mm-hmm. don't sound like that. Like
they're
that.
Tell me that
if you tell me your cousins live in Neosho, Missouri, I'm a scream.
No, it's more right, north.
You don't want to hear me scream.
Okay. It's more north toward, it's closer to Kansas City. But, I just thought she was so awful.
She was. Yes, I mean, and she did the best she could, but they put her in there not because she can act, but because, you know.
And then Josh Brolin has these awful lines like, dang, woman, how many men you seeing today or whatever.
Right.
When they're all about to shoot him and.
Like, stick around. Oh, wait.
And he's awful in this too. And I was like, why isn't this the Josh Brolin, like, No Country for Old Men, Josh Brolin? Was that just a thing that he could do once and then he's like, I'm good. I'm just going to live off of that the rest of my life.
No, because I feel like he is a good actor. Like, I don't, maybe I'm just thinking because of that. But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe he got there and he figured out there was going to be a crap movie. And he was like, oh, God. I mean, they're already paying me.
He gave up.
Yeah. Like, that was real whiskey. He was always drinking and he was just like, whatever.
Yeah, he's got that.
Oh, by the way.
Gerard Butlered this movie.
He needed a straw, by the way. Jonah Hex needed a straw.
Right through there.
Get it down his throat. Cause why is it dribbling out of his face? Why is he just letting it go out of his face?
I don't know.
Janked it. They skimped on the eye part though. He didn't have the eye like he
was. Yeah, in the comic is he doesn't have like eyelids or, you know, the whole area is just exposed.
Gross.
And so, it looks a lot weirder. Here he's just got like a deal where, you know, in this world he could just cut that and he would look normal for the most
part.
In the comic, like he's all messed up. Like his whole, it's almost Two-Face style where his whole face is all jacked up. You know?
Gross.
But, so then we have another one of the scenes that's just terrible is we have this cockfighting with like the snake beast thing.
Yeah.
It's like the rattlesnake man. And I'm like, what is this? Like, why? You know, and I mentioned several times in my notes earlier and haven't brought it up before, but I was like, what is all this supernatural bullshit? Like, what is it doing? Like, what is it in here for? Is it just so like kids could go see it and be like, oh, dang, that was cool when a crow came out of his mouth or something. I mean, it didn't add anything to the film.
They probably wanted to justify the last name, Hex. Yeah. They probably took, oh, well, doesn't that mean a magic spell? Well, maybe he's a magic guy. Maybe he talks to the dead or something. I don't know.
Jeez.
How do you like that one? Was that good? Good
that was accent? Better than
no,
her.
That was actually kind of bad, to be honest with you.
Nice.
All right, I'll stay in my lane then.
we do have...
I'll stay in
some also very awful props, which I thought was interesting. With the
talked about Megan Fox
with the gun dynamite throwers.
Oh yeah,
and that was
did you get real ones of those though?
I don't think so. That was played by the guy from The Wire. I can't think of what his name is, and he was also in a little bit of Lost.
Lance Reddick.
Lance Reddick, yes. And so
I know him from Fringe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
You know, I have it on my Netflix. I have yet to dive in.
You need to get in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Get in there.
I think every,
get in there and work it around.
Isn't it every 11 o'clock episode they must talk about Fringe? I think that's what, like, it's a part of Vince's thing. Or almost every show.
Possibly?
I feel like. He talks about it a lot. Anyways, so I didn't like that, and I didn't like when Lance Reddick shows up and his name is, they call him Smith, right? And he's black, and he's and he's making things, so he's a blacksmith.
Blacksmith!
I was like, oh god, I was like, that's terrible. I was like, that's so awful. So we
he's cute. He was cute.
Yeah, we have these. This like Morgan Freeman tradition to where it's like the white superhero and this like the African American little helper guy. And I'm like, what is this that we're doing?
We love to serve. We love to serve.
You know, so we have that horrible stereotype, and then we also have like the crazy Indian healing power stuff.
Right.
So I'm like, it's just taking like every single stereotype it possibly can. I'm surprised there wasn't some like Asian woman that couldn't drive in it or something.
Jesus.
Well, I'm just throwing stereotypes out.
I was wondering
why the Indians cared at all. Mm-hmm. Why the Native American kid? And then I realized. Then they showed enough flashbacks again to show that his wife was a Native American, and so the kid was half a Native American. So I guess the Native American said, "We're gonna help him because he." He loved one of us.
And then they cried about the can after that. God, I hate
that. Way later.
Yeah, I just hate all the Native American stereotype. Like, I just can't stand how Hollywood does any of those things. Just really drives. It's like, that's like my whistling thing for Alan, I think. Like, anytime there's like Native Americans, I'm like, oh, I bet they're going to be super peaceful, or they're going to be smoking a peace pipe and have some magic powers.
Yeah, now what you're talking about, we have identified in the black community as the magical Negro.
Oh, there we go.
Oh my God.
They do the same. They have done the same thing with the wise old black man.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
In many of those roles, yeah.
So the one bright spot, and I don't know if you guys had turned it off or checked out at this point, but I did kind of like the Michael Fassbender Josh Brolin fight at the end. I thought that was like 5 minutes of good. To where they're, I can see it made a huge impact on both of you.
No,
it was
not at all.
It's where it's like the choreography at least was like good, and it seemed to work. And it was one of those where I probably feel like I was grasping for something positive to say about the film.
You're like, oh shit, we have to talk about this later.
Yeah, can't just rag on it, I guess.
Jonah's a cool name. I mean, I don't know.
We got that whole whale thing, whatever.
Right,
that happened. So I put that, you know, it's 75 minutes long, essentially, and it's about 70 minutes too long. Like, it's just, it's such a short film, but it felt like it was 2.5 hours to me. I was like, oh, my God, this is never going to end.
They should have done the animation, the This Is My Story, the Michael Fassbender fight, and then the end.
That would have been good.
What about every time that they went in and out of that little post-death, pre-death duel scene thing?
Mm-hmm.
Where he was supposed to be.
Oh yes, I don't know. The like otherworldly stuff.
Yeah, like he's supposed to pre-see his own death, or I don't know.
It's like the movie kept stopping. Wolves. Yeah.
Yeah, except it wasn't really happening.
I mean, they weren't together looking at each other and then meeting on a psychic plane. It was just he was drifting in and out of this vision of him fighting the bad guy, like as if they were like the story didn't put them together. And so the writers decided, let's just throw it in there anyway, even though we're not going to have a big climactic fight between Jonah.
I feel like the writers decided, let's throw it in there anyway on a lot of stuff.
Must have been. You know, I can't believe you guys are talking so poorly about Jimmy Hayward, the shining star in the film community who directed he's directed three films. They were Horton Hears a Who.
That was good.
Jonah Hex and Free Birds. Those are his three credits. So he's got two animated films and Jonah Hex.
Technically there's animation in this too.
That's true. So it's like,
that's his strength.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, guys, this is my wheelhouse day. Let's knock it out.
I've got this. The rest is all studio notes, but I've got this.
Somebody else needs to write the other part. Oh shit. We need to get some writers in here.
Yeah. We're already rolling. Like we should probably have a story. It's terrible.
We're already rolling. I think my brother can come in and help. Okay.
So it's just another movie that's just so bad. Like, God. And it kind of upsets me more than Howard the Duck, because I at least have some history with this.
Right. Like, I feel like this could have been at least a decent movie had it fallen into the right hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't. So,
Jimmy Hayward must have had like a hell of a pitch or something.
He should go back to playing center field.
That's Jason.
Oh, my bad.
But you know more. There you go. More sports than I know.
There you go. Rachel knows her sports.
The J. Hay kid.
That's the J. Hay kid. That's right. She knows. You know, Alan, that was one of the things that she said to me the first time I met her. Was we were at a bar.
J.A. Kidd?
No, we were at a bar, and she comes up to me and is complaining about Andrew Jones, who's a Braves, former Atlanta Braves baseball player. And she kind of starts complaining about his on-base percentage or his batting average or something like that.
Yeah, he didn't try when he started.
Yeah. And I was like, wow. I was like, this is going to work out just fine.
A ride or die chick.
It's like, this is going to work out just fine.
I prefer to ride, thank you very much.
Oh my goodness. All right, well, let's move on to our last film.
All righty.
It is 2012's Dread.
Feel as if time is passing at 1% its normal speed.
If we play this right, we could take the whole city.
Peachtree is the manufacturing base for all the slow-mo in Mega City 1.
You know how often we get a judge up in Peachtree?
Well, you got one now.
She has control of everything. Levels 1 to 200.
This is Mama. Somewhere in this block are two judges.
That's not good.
I want him dead.
We're gonna have to go through him. Rookie, you ready?
Yeah.
You look ready.
Fire!
Judgment time.
Let's finish this.
Mama is not the law. I'm the law. Sentence is death.
In a dystopian future Earth, the area between New York and Boston has become a crime-ridden urban mass of 800 million people known as Mega City.
It's Boston to Washington, D.C., but that's not your fault, Cruz.
Okay, thank you. Keeping the peace are combination policemen-judges who make arrests, determine guilt, and then execute the sentence. Judge Dredd is among the best at what he does, and he is assigned a rookie, Cassandra Anderson, who did not meet the minimum requirements for the job, but who has one talent most do not. She's a mutant with psychic abilities. They soon find themselves inside Peachtree's, a 200-story building that houses among many others, Mama, a gangster who produces the drug of choice in Mega City, Slow-Mo. Mama shuts the building down, determined that Dredd and Anderson will never again see the light of day. Bum, bum, bum.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Let's do histories. Alan, tell me about you in this movie. Is this a first timer?
Me? Well, I avoided. Yes, this is the first time for me, and I avoided it like the plague because I saw enough of the Red Band trailer.
Uh huh.
Where faces were being blown apart in slow motion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not my wheelhouse, right? I'm not too crazy about that kind of violence.
Mm-hmm.
But the property itself, Judge Dredd itself, I have never read it and felt as deeply in love with the character as so many of my geek brethren and sistren.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect their love of the property. So that gravity came with my watching the movie.
Sure. What's interesting about this is, you know, this is a heavy metal, a UK property, you know, and it's a big deal, you know, a very long running comic, and it's set in the US in this. Like, why?
Yeah.
So really. We would watch it?
I guess. So we would watch it. That's probably true.
Why? I'm not trying to be a dick.
It has to be for us, by us, of us.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, okay, that probably came out wrong, but like, they're like, in the future, they have megacities stretching from like Liverpool to something. Yeah. We're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
like,
stretching 150 miles.
Right?
You're like,
okay. I mean, I'm just saying they had to shoot it in the United States for us to like have any relatability to it. No offense.
Sure.
Any other films would work in Harry Potter. Okay. I'm just saying.
You always have Harry Potter.
I always do.
So, Alan, before I go to Cruz about what she thought, have you seen the 95 version of this with Sly Stallone?
I saw that and forgot that.
Really. Oh, well.
I didn't retain that. But I did notice that they threw Fergie a bone at the beginning of this movie.
Fergie?
Right at the bottom of... Like, the character that was being portrayed by that little Rob Schneider man?
Sure.
Didn't he played a character called Fergie, right?
Mm. I thought you were talking about Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas, yeah.
Fergalicious.
With her humps and stuff. Mm-hmm. Her lumps.
Well, I like her London Bridge. How come every time you come around, Mama? That's my favorite thing from her. But the Grey Goose got your girl feeling loose. I like that.
I like that too. I like the rendition.
Right, that's nice.
Because I bring it. And it's true too. The Di Serrano got your boy feeling loose.
I thought your favorite part of Fergie was dead ass. Sorry, keep talking. I'm done.
That was a little callback from. I think that character was called Fergie in that Sly Stallone film, and they put his name or the name that name scrolled across the bottom of one of those videos.
Oh, okay.
I noticed that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I don't think I saw that. I saw, you know, Rob Schneider and was like, ugh.
Hip Hop Anonymous?
Least favorite comedic actor ever, I think. So.
Ever.
Don't like him. So, Cruz, this is a first watch for you, yes?
Yeah.
What did you think of Dredd?
And I never saw the Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I know. Because I was like, because you asked me, it's the 2012 one, right?
Right.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was like, I'm watching anyway. It's free on Netflix. I don't care.
Right.
Okay. So first of all, I love future movies.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this extensively. Yeah, travel movies.
We really should do like a dystopian future movie.
We should. We could do a lot.
Yeah.
So like right away, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to see, you know, like what's going to happen, what's going on. And first of all, Mega City is like basically if I had a nightmare about what the future would be like, that would be it.
Yes.
It's like 800 million people shoved into some nasty ass city. Not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cornfields.
There's no
breathing room. I just see gravel anywhere.
That's right. There's no deers on the roads.
Right? So I'm like really excited about this. You know, I'm watching this movie. I'm like, oh, he's a judge. That's really cool. Cause like, I don't know anything about this storyline at all. And I'm like, I feel like they should be doing this now. Just let the cops, you know, figure out what happens to you based on what they feel like.
Excuse me. They call that LA and Florida.
but I'm so disappointed because I'm like, oh, they have this, you know, this whole huge new world they created and they spend the whole movie in a fucking building. So I was like, oh man.
Victim of your own expectations.
Yes. Basically, yeah. I screwed myself over thinking that was going to be, you know, cause you, I mean, like I'm sure there are so many fun things, you know, that the comic does, but I mean, and this was fine too. I wasn't like pissed about how the movie went or anything. I was just disappointed that I didn't get to see, you know, they didn't go exploring.
It wasn't the story that you wanted.
Yes, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't the whatever.
It wasn't your stories. It wasn't one of your stories.
No stories. Yeah. And I just got done watching season 2 of Game of Thrones.
Oh, I haven't seen it, so don't spoil that for me.
And like, everyone dies. And Lena Headey is in Game of Thrones, and she's just gorgeous.
Yeah, she's in, she's Leonidas' wife in 300 also.
Yeah, and she, you know, she's like, always like long, beautiful hair, wearing beautiful clothes. And in this, it's just like, wow.
She's nasty looking.
Nasty looking in this. So I was a little upset about that too.
What did you think about Juno's friend? Olivia Thirlby looking a little more grown up in this movie.
Yeah, I thought.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hamburger phone.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool. Olivia Thirlby, you know, she's something, I actually really like her. She's got something, I don't know, it's kind of like, she looks like she's having fun when she's acting to me. Like there, it's either the way that she's lit or something, she just looks like she's, like it's a play for her, like she's just playing.
Well, and some people like, I, you know, not exactly from her role in Juno, but like, to me, some people give off an air of being intelligent, and she gives off that to me, that she's like a smart person a little bit, like not Natalie Portman smart, because
that's the top of intelligence for you.
Basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel I liked her in this. So.
Yeah, she was also in a film that I reviewed last spring called Nobody Walks with John Krasinski.
Mm.
And she's... like a very like free spirit, a little bit promiscuous kind of a person. And that's, I just kind of like her to where she's not, she doesn't seem to play roles that are very standard. Like she's not, you know, just like your romantic comedy lead kind of a thing.
My favorite.
Yeah. She's always playing someone a little bit more interesting than that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I think that's interesting. Okay, so what I liked about this film, I really enjoy this movie, actually. I went to the theater in 3D for this.
Oh, hell Jesus. No.
Yeah.
Ain't no
$800, please.
Ever watch this in 3D.
Oh my. I thought the slow-mo shots were amazing.
Oh, the slow-mo looked crazy good. Like when she's throwing the water.
In your grill with that nasty shit.
Oh, and then, Alan, you would have loved it when he's shooting, he's blowing people's, shooting bullets through cheeks and stuff. You see that?
A little blood on you?
Yeah, you see that flying at you?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
No thank.
Yeah, that was one of the many times last summer where I would go and run to the movie theater and then be like, wow, I'm sweating a lot. I'm going to try not to sit near anyone. this is uncomfortable, and I'll watch a movie now.
You shouldn't run. You're so silly.
Yeah. So anyway.
Run every goddamn where.
Every goddamn where. So I really like. I really like the voiceover. The Carl Urban voiceover. Carl Urban, I really appreciate the fact that they didn't show his face in this. That was one of the things that they complained about the Sly Stallone, you know, because you don't see his face in the comics ever.
Okay.
And he was.
Because he's supposed to be like an idea.
Yeah.
Of justice.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
You know, and he's a guy who I think is just fascinating. You know, he's from New Zealand, but he can kind of do whatever accent you want him to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's Dr. McCoy in Star Trek. You know, he was in the Bourne.
He's so good in that.
Yeah.
I love him.
He is so good in that.
He was in one of the Bourne films. He was, Éomer in Lord of the Rings. He was, you know, he's been in a lot of stuff.
He's everywhere. I have a couple other places he could be.
Jeez.
A couple or just one?
She said a couple, so
a couple. Just gave him a chance. Give him a little time.
Yeah, he's like, just give me a shot, and she's like, I'm done. Let's go. So I think that the slow-mo thing seems really fun until the whole getting killed thing comes up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, just throwing like water around. I was like, dang, that'd be sweet. But then the whole idea of like getting skinned and being thrown down a like 800 floors or whatever it was while in slow motion.
Thwack.
That
like that's
suck.
The word you need to use. Thwack.
When they hit the ground. That was a nice little sound effect for that, right?
Yeah.
When they hit the ground finally. So.
Oh man, that was nasty.
Yes, it was. So I think.
Holy
shit. That I think what I like about Mama is she never seems to get super like excited.
Yes. I agree.
And it's scary because, you know, you know, not to be super sexist, but sometimes when you see that the main villain is a woman and you're like, all right, like, well, what's she really going to do if it's not some sort of like, I'm just the boss because I'm the boss. You know, like some movies, she'll just be the boss and there'll be no reason for it. Like, yeah, like in The Wolverine. And here, you know, she's fucking dirty and crazy and nasty. And, you know, she'll get down in the shit. And I kind of like that. And she just seems very dangerous. And
yes,
so I really felt that they were in trouble when they locked them into the building.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before. The best kind of crazy is like under the surface crazy.
Yeah. The quiet crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what you thought about that. She was in one of her lieutenant's face. She gave the plan on how they were going to kill. I think how they were going to kill both of them. I guess this was before. Yeah, and she said, "Do you understand me?" And then she said, "Do you fucking understand me?"
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that second one might have been improv on her part.
Yeah, it could have been. Could have very well been
because the guy that she was saying it to, he was like, "Yeah," and then she said the second time, he said, "Yeah, yeah."
Yeah, it's like he wasn't. It's like it could have been a thing where he didn't respond scared enough, and so she improvised that second one. Tori's like, "Oof, yeah, I got it."
Well, her one henchman,
like, okay, can we cut?
He was helping Denzel win a football championship, and then
he was in The Wire, another Wire guy.
Came a long way from that. Well, it looks like he went on a downhill slide then after winning the championship.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's because the country didn't give the black man a break.
Damn,
the problem.
That's right. That's right. I put that sometimes being a psychic would suck some ass. Like, that would not be fun.
I think it would suck all the time. I would hate it.
You're
I live
okay
in,
with...
like, ignorance is bliss, and I am amazingly blissful.
Yeah, you're in Rachel world all of the time.
Right. Hey, did you watch the news? No. What?
News.
Because the news is depressing.
Yeah, you're like,
ew.
You're like, I know what I did today. That was the news.
Right? Oh my god.
I got into that handle. That was the news, so.
Yes.
Something like that. So yeah, so I think that
I did like how she made that guy pee himself though. That was pretty impressive.
That was good. Yeah.
Up until then, I wasn't like super impressed with her, you know, because like they set her up like, oh, she failed all of her tests. She basically sucks at life. But like, she's coming with you, and he was like, okay. And you know, she was, you know, doing reciting protocol stuff and blah blah blah. But until she made that guy pee himself without even touching him, then I was like, dang.
Yeah.
Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yeah.
When she makes Wood Harris pee himself. Wood Harris, the henchman.
When she like gets into his head.
Yeah, because he's he's trying to shock her with, you know, he's like, I'm behind you and we're doing it. She's like, please.
Been there.
Yeah. She's like, big deal.
Yeah, no, yeah. But, and wasn't that the scene where he said, if I really want to shock you, I would show you this. Mm-hmm. And he started, and then she just cocked him right in the head.
Yeah. Wow.
She said, what are you thinking now?
That's right.
Now what are you thinking?
That's like, right.
Oh, shit. Little Miss Blondie's got a little bit of a bite.
That's right. What do you, what did you think about the faux judges that came in? The sort of for hire.
I was just pissed about that.
Yeah, it was a thing where it's like, okay, well, a lot of this is new-ish, you know, with the mega city and we're locked in this huge thing. I've seen a cop or whatever that's a good guy, but he's really a bad guy show up on the scene. Like, I've seen that a lot.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was like, all right.
Well, and I mean, yeah, I just, there could have been other things that were going on. I didn't. And it kind of made me mad, honestly, because, you know, they're supposed to be, like, you know, above cops. They're supposed to be, like, these, you know, dispensers of justice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I was just like, okay, whatever. Stupid.
That they were corrupted. The fact that ideal got corrupted in those guys. Yeah, that was. I actually wrote, that's fucked up.
Right?
I wrote, dirty judges arrive. That's fucked up.
Thank you.
Yes.
So it did make me feel some kind of way.
You know, what's funny is I put a note in here and I didn't remember writing this, I guess, because I watched this a little bit ago. But I put that, you know, is this a commentary on how, you know, police could be, you know, things could escalate with the police. And which is funny that, you know, Rachel had mentioned the same thing at the beginning of this discussion of this film. And for me, like, that would be terrifying for me. Just like knowing, you know, different news and seeing those different police cameras of people just beating someone up for no reason and that kind of thing. And so I see this future and I think of it more as they're probably all going to be corrupt and it's all going to be a nightmare as opposed to the, oh, well, Judge Dredd will save us all kind of a thing. So when I, you know, see this film, I'm like, oh, well, at least there's one good guy as opposed to, oh, there's just a couple of corrupt ones. You know what I'm saying?
What did you think about Anderson then?
I really liked her. You know, yeah. I was, it was kind of like, they put the two good ones together. All right.
See, I wanted it to be like they were all together, but they're obviously all underdogs because they're fighting.
I think that's
policing 800 million people.
Yeah. I think that's done really well. The fact that they are so overwhelmed on the amount of work that they have to
do. Right. They get like 8 calls and he's like, pick one.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, let's go to the projects. And he's like, amazing idea. What a great idea.
Yeah. So were these judges, like these other guys, like the macho, the machoest, the most macho people that have ever lived ever or what?
Yeah, they pledged right out of their frat.
Well, yeah, they were like straight, like 80s Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, like, Ultra
I think one
man.
Of them was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They were just like ultra macho. It was unbelievable.
Except, like, including the woman. Including
the woman.
Oh, yeah.
She should have been on like
that
American Gladiators or something.
I actually like that scene where she's like, she'll hesitate and then I'll kill her. And she was like,
It's like, well, not if she's a psychic, you dumbass.
Exactly that. Exactly that. Like, you are so fucked, little lady. You
right?
know
That's
nothing.
What I have. Hubris. That's what that was.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dang.
Coin that term.
Put it in the dictionary. Wait a minute.
That's right. But yeah, so I don't know. This one I think is of these five, which I don't know. Have we ever done five in a show? Maybe when we did the Marvel movie ones. leading up to the Avengers.
Oh, well, we did the Disney.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, those were all, we were like just going like 7, 8 an episode kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that, of these five, I think this one is probably my favorite.
Right. The only thing I was disappointed about was that we didn't get to go exploring more, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Everything else I was on board with.
Well, what I liked about it, and I think what's really, really important about this, and what I think that a lot of these other films have problems with, is this film knows exactly what it is. It knows that it's a B action movie. It's not trying to have like this grand sweeping score and like prove all these points and have all
right.
the meanings.
There's not like a, I also liked that there wasn't any like love shit in it.
Yeah, there's not like a, oh, well, Anderson, you see, right. did you read my mind? I'm in love with you.
This morning we started as partners, but now I'd like to be your lover.
Yeah, there's none of that. It's just, it knows exactly what lane, as Alan would say, it knows exactly what lane to stay
in your lane, Dredd.
Yeah, and you know, I think that it knows what it's trying to do and it executes it well. And I think that it wasn't,
no pun intended.
Yeah, and it wasn't I don't think it was a hugely expensive film. And I know that it was shot for 3D, so I think that upped it maybe a bit. But I think that it did well enough to where I wouldn't be shocked. I may be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked to see them do a sequel. You know, if Carl Urban is up for it, I think he's in his early 40s, so he has plenty of time to do another film. Yeah, it's like 41.
The character of Judge Dredd himself has aged up to like 70 or something. So,
oh, well, there you go.
It'll be fine.
Well, there you go.
Sylvester Stallone's still doing action movies, and he's like 112.
I don't know. Do you call that him and Kevin Hart film and Robert De Niro an action movie?
Isn't there another one called like Escape from Alcatraz or something?
Escape Plan? That's him and Arnie, right?
Oh, God.
You know, I heard that that was way better than it had any right to be. But
I don't believe you. I'll never know because I'll never see it.
Yeah, it's like, I guess I won't.
Why don't they just bank like $100 million, like just one proceed from one of their movies, just bank it and live off the interest and stop.
Because they're artists.
Yeah, right? If Adam Sandler can keep making movies.
Oh, that guy. Just quit after Waterboy even. Like go that far even and just quit.
All right. Well, let's.
Anyway,
do we have anything
so is there? Yeah, do you have anything else that you guys wanted to say, or did we miss anything?
A couple, just one or two things.
Sure.
Not very much, because, like you said, Dredd knew what it was supposed to be, and it delivered on that. But it did have some character development for Anderson that I really appreciated, and it had her afraid to do some killing at first. Then when she finally goes ahead and follows her orders to kill, it winds up biting her in the ass. Because they get helped from the wife of the person she killed.
But they get begrudging help, and that lady's like, "Don't fucking tell anybody or talk to me again."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but and still, when she wanted to appreciate that or apologize, she found out that she had blown the girl's man away.
Yeah, but he was trying to kill her. Like, I know what you're saying. Like, I understand that she felt bad, but like, I wouldn't feel bad. Like, if someone was
cold hearted,
but that's part of her. That was part of her character development, because after she left out of there, she started to just take it on. She was like, "Okay, well, this is what I got to do."
Fair enough. Yeah,
I like that.
Trapped up in this bitch, and we got to kill some fools.
That's part of being a judge, right? Making hard decisions.
Right.
Yeah. So I like that. So of these five, what which was the one? Or I guess we could say as of these eight. Was there one that stuck out as your guys' favorite, or?
I don't even remember the ones we watched.
It was Hellboy, Man of Steel, and The Wolverine.
Oh.
Well, this one surprised the hell out of me. I didn't think I was going to like it. I thought I was going to wind up in a fetal position watching this because of the violence that had been advertised. Oh. But I really, really did like this one.
Well, there you go. This is my favorite of the five, too.
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, I mean, like, it's probably between this one and Man of Steel, just because you know why. You guys know why.
Oh. Henry.
Right. This one or Man of Steel or Howard the Duck.
Oh, come on.
Because
no,
boobies.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because of the duck boobs.
Yeah,
because
of duck boobies.
God.
No, I was actually, you know, this happens to me sometimes. I was surprised that I liked a movie. So
weird.
Yeah, it's one of those two. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I think I would like, I liked Dread the best. Maybe I really like the director's version of Hellboy too, though. So maybe that one. But of these five,
I watched The Crow on Netflix, and after I was done, it recommended Hellboy to me.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I picked, The Crow and Dread, is I was trying to keep it, more grounded, like more street level, real world kind of characters.
They were in a building in Dread. They weren't on the street.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, are you guys good, or do you have anything else that you wanted to say before we wrap up?
I think Dread came first, and then Hellboy was, I liked it second, and then Wolverine because I'm so loyal to.
Well, there you go. Marvel man through and through.
I can't give it up.
I'm just not a fan of Wolverine.
Yeah, he's not.
Were any of these? Nope. Never mind.
All right. Well, wrapping us up. If you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you could email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You could follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you can follow me. I am @EricWilliams79, and Cruz is @LadyZlag, even though she's not Cruz, which wouldn't make sense if you're just now listening, I guess. We also have Facebook, where you could like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. If you enjoyed the show and wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to our website, which is plainlabelpodcast.tumblr.com. And over there, you can find our fancy, shiny new logo. And you can also find some Amazon links to these films and, all of the other ones that we've talked about on the podcast. And if you, click on those links and buy the movie, we do get a little bit of that money, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. And also over there, there is a little Amazon box. And what I want you to do is click on that box. It takes you to Amazon's homepage. And I want you to bookmark that homepage, delete your other bookmark, and just use this one.
Forever.
Delete it forever. Kill it with fire. And what it does is it helps us out. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It gives us a little bit of money each time you buy anything from Amazon. And we would surely appreciate that. So we do want to thank Alan for coming on once again.
Thank you, Alan.
And
thank you.
You know, if people wanted to hear more from you, or maybe buy some stories from you, where would they do so?
You would go to Twitter, you would get @NewMutant, and then everything else I do will come through that little feed.
Well, look at that. That's easy. All right. Well,
yes, because I'm the author of The Power Principle. And I talk about that a lot. So you will find all about that. Or you can look it up on Facebook. The Power Principle.
There you go.
There you go. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with our little 8-person bracket to find out who is the ultimate superhero warrior.
Power.
It's all right, Toots.
Get the planet on the phone. Ain't no time.
not bad for a duck from outer space.
You were great, Ducky.